good morning. Good morning. I am glad to be here with you today. I just want to let you know right off the bat, in this series, we're focusing on parenting, but it applies to every one of us and all the relationships that we have. But I do also want you to know a lot of what Cole and I are teaching in this series, I'll speak for me personally, are things that I blew it. And I wish that I had this information when I was a young parent. But now that I have it, as I'm having a trouble here, and I think I located the problem, pardon me. There we go. You shouldn't have to put up with that anymore. These are things I messed up as a parent. I wish I had this information as I began, but now that I am a parent of adult children and a parent from the perspective of grandparenting, goodness, this applies so much. And I'll have you know, these concepts apply to every relationship you have in life. As I had children, I was trying to make the rules clear. I was kind, and I think being kind is, to be clear, is kind, because you don't want people to have to guess, is this right, is this wrong, is this okay? They want to know what are the guidelines, what are the rules? And so you also know if you break this guideline or this rule, then the punishment was also clear. They didn't have to guess. And I followed through time and time again. Because as a parent, my perspective was this: this is what God commanded me to do. Because I wanted my children to know, you are always going to have authorities in your life. Law enforcement, bosses, teachers, there's always going to be authorities, supervisors. And so as parents, if you're anything like me, you try to be consistent, right? You want to be consistent with all of that, with rules and punishment and guidelines. We give our children chances, right? One, two, three, three and a half, all right, four, four and a half, okay? Okay, that's it. Five, six, or maybe you have a teen who was going off the rails. No rule that you laid down seemed to rescue that teenager. So when you faced a new problem, it was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. They got me on that one. So we need some new rules, right? For every rule we create, there was a reason something went wrong, so we make a new rule. A new rule to rescue them. We want to move them in the right direction. We know they have to grow up. They have to mature. They have to fit into society. And it's our job as parents to shape them, to develop them, to have that obedience grow in their life. We want them to be respectful. We want them to be obedient. We want them to be honest. And so we're relying on something to help us. And really, we're relying on those rules and guidelines. And we have this confidence in a tool, and we use it again and again and again. We try to develop the right guidelines to help raise our children and get them into society to be productive, because we want to see their life grow. We want to see it develop. We want to see them change as we know they're going to need to as they grow. And so we use this whole method time and time again, situation after situation, child after child. Isn't that what most of us do, right? Think about this last month even. If you have children in your home, how did you train them this last month? When you saw something go wrong, what did you do? Now, a big question that I never asked myself until preparing this series: is it possible the tool we have been relying upon doesn't actually have the power to do what we're asking it to do? without knowing it, without really intending to, most Christian parents are asking the law to do for our children what only the grace of God can do. We have so much confidence in the rules, in the law. Now think about it with me. If rules and regulations had the power to change the heart of your child, rescuing your child from himself or herself, giving them a heart of submission and faith, if that were possible, Jesus would never have needed to come. Don't misunderstand me. We do need the law. Listen to what Paul tells us in Romans. What then, he says, shall we say? That the law is sin? In other words, the law is bad? No, by no means, he says. No. Yet, if it had not been for the law, he says, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. In other words, each of us is born with the need for God's law. Our kiddos, too, they were born with that need. We come in hot, not knowing anything in this world. Do we really know what's right? No, we have an idea, but we don't really know. No. Do we really know what's wrong? Well, we have some idea, but not really. Do we know what's true, what's false? Not actually. We come in pretty blank. Do we come in knowing this is good for me and this is not good for me? We don't have the foggiest clue. God's law gives us that wisdom. That's what Paul is saying. Without it, we would really have no clue about how we should really live, how we should speak, how we should behave. We just wouldn't know. We are not self-governing. Our kids are not either. Not your kids, not you. We need those guardrails, those guidelines to help us from careening off the edge of life. And Paul tells us that is what God's law does for us and what it gives us. It gives us a clear guide of what is right, a clear guide of what is wrong, and it's all according to the creator of all life. It protects us from ourselves. Now listen, your child is cute, and they're precious sometimes, you know. Mostly, maybe some. And they might be a great student. They could be a wonderful athlete. But here is the truth. Your child is a sinner. And they are ultimately a danger to themselves. And they do need protection. And God's law gives them that protection. It's God's wisdom for living in this life. Otherwise, we would not know what's really good for us in life. And when we break his law, there's conviction in our heart and in our soul that follows. When we break his law, without the law, we would have really no idea that we even need protection from ourselves. Wisdom and forgiveness and rescue. If we don't see our need, we will never act upon that need. And so being blind to our spiritual needs, it's a death sentence. If a child doesn't see their need, they will always resist the wisdom, the guidance, the discipline, the correction that a parent gives them. Why? Because they don't need it, right? They think that they're fine. Everything's going okay. And the law exposes that behavior, and it exposes our hearts. Paul goes on. No, this isn't Paul. This is from the prophet Jeremiah talking about our hearts. Listen to what he says. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah says. Who really knows how bad it is. And the law, God's law, is the ultimate standard. It's the ultimate rule, the ultimate measuring stick, measuring system in this life. And our children must be exposed to it. Because when we are exposed to it, then it exposes our hearts. But parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, friends who have neighbors with children, listen, it is ultimately dangerous for our children if we're asking the law to do moment by moment, day by day, situation by situation, what only grace can accomplish in their lives. And yet, we do this all the time. I sure did, without realizing it. We see our job as parenting and grandparenting and our job in the roles of other people in the life around us. We see our job as a faithful lawgiver and also the arresting officer and also the prosecutor and the judge and the jailer all combined into one. Our parenting becomes rules and threats and punishment. And yes, they need rules, and they need consistent correction. But here's the point of this. That's not nearly enough. The law, guidelines, rules is not enough. Jesus came because the law was good, but it was not enough to solve the problem of human sin. See, the law can only expose our child's sin, but it has no power to deliver your child from sin. The law cannot rescue, it only convicts. And that's by design, that's not an accident. The law cannot give your child a new heart. The law cannot create lasting change in your child's life. It can't rescue. It can't help. It can't redeem. It cannot restore. But that is what every child needs, to be helped and redeemed and restored and rescued. And you know what? It actually gets worse, because we take God's law and then we add to it or replace it with our own law. And our law as parents and our guidelines as parents are driven often by our own needs, our own brokenness, our own control, our own need for peace in the house, and sometimes even our own success and our own reputation. And we get mad and angry at our kids, not because they broke God's law. If you're like me, you got mad or you get mad and angry with your children because they broke your law. They got in the way of something you want. And we respond in those situations as parents and adults in ways that are not very much like Jesus, whom last week we reminded you that we are supposed to be representing. But as parents, we keep trusting the law to change our children. And then we power up because we're bigger. We power up to make sure that happens. So we use our authority and we begin to force change. If you're like me, we speak louder, hoping that we can force them to bend their will and obey our law. And we make threats, and then we make them even more scary and more threatening and more severe, all in hopes that that will make them afraid of the punishment and they will change. And then we search for the right punishment. What's the right punishment that will frighten them into submission? And when that doesn't work, then we bring it all on even stronger. We might kind of go the other direction. Maybe we try to reward them into compliance. We try to buy them off, make a trade with them. If you'll do this for me, if you'll act this way, do this for me, then I'll do this for you. If you'll comply and be obedient in this way for me this time, then I'll do this for you. And at its best, those rewards, trying to buy them off, trying to, at best, it gives us temporary control. Because as soon as the next week rolls around and they've had the reward, they're right back to what they really wanted to do and the way they really wanted to act. We don't have, as parents, the power to change our children. We don't have the power to change what's inside of them, what is in their heart. We don't have the power to change their hearts. God has not given me and given you that power to change your child's heart. And if you think you can, you will only become progressively more demanding, more aggressive, more threatening, always focused on the rules and the punishments. And I can speak to that because that was me. We use this power of fear as parents, big threats, hoping to create big fear in hopes that it will create big change. But that is always temporary change at best. Because threats and punishment don't change hearts. You know what? Rewards don't either. We use the power of rewards. You know, another term for that saying is kind of back to, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you, child. Another word for that is manipulation. If you'll do this, if I can manipulate you into doing this with this reward, then I'll give you this. We'll go to the store and buy this. If you'll do this for me, then this weekend we'll do this, something you want to do. If you'll do this for me, I'll do something you want for you. And in that scenario, there is no heart change, just temporary compliance to the law. We also have a tendency to use power of shame, power of guilt. We might say things like, I can't believe you would do that. I would have never done that to my parents. After all I have done for you, you're going to do this? We try guilt and shame into coercing them into doing what is right. And again, any resulting change from guilt and shame is just temporary. Shame has no power to change the heart. It can only crush them under the expectations of your law. And these are all ways that we have a natural tendency as parents to power up in an effort to control our children. Think about this. Our Heavenly Father is never content with just controlling us. Now, He's the sovereign King, and He is in control. Control is not a problem for God. The law, God's law, yes, it is necessary. But here's what we're saying today. Grace is a must. Without both the law and grace, your children will never become who they are supposed to. And yes, your child is a gift. And your child is probably often very sweet. But sin is inside them. And that sin is going to cause them to fight with their siblings. It's going to cause them to fight with you and other authority. And Paul goes on in the next paragraph. Listen to what he describes here in verse 17. So now it is no longer I who do it, who is doing this sinning, he says, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. This is Paul. That is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. He's describing you. He's describing himself. He's describing your child. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing, he says. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. It's the sin inside of your child. It's what Paul says. That's what makes them resist authority and your authority. That's what makes your child want things that will actually hurt them. That's because of sin, the sin that lives inside them. It's sin that makes them feel naturally entitled. It's what makes them demanding. Give me this. I want this. It's what makes them materialistic. It's why they are whiny and complaining and fit throwers. It's because of what's inside of them. And as they grow older, it's what causes them to say hurtful things to you and to others. It's what causes them to do hurtful things. It is sin that makes parenting tough. And the law and your guidelines have absolutely no ability to deliver your child from the mess that you have to deal with as a parent. Your child was born with a desperate need of rescuing, of forgiving, a need for life changing, a need for grace from God. It's the very same thing you need and I need. It's God's grace. And it's what your children must have too. You are not just called to deliver justice using the law, but it's God's ambassador representing him. You are called to deliver and to teach and to explain grace to them as well. And when we forget that need, the one that we have just as much as our children's have, that need, we are in great danger of never showing them or teaching them or explaining the grace of God. So in other words, adults, you need to be rescued from yourself as well. You need God's amazing grace to defeat the sin inside of you and the sin inside of me. Because we've been living with it. In fact, we've been living with it this past week. We've been living with the sin that we like inside of us, and we are comfortable with it. We are at home with it. We have been roommates with that sin all week long. So it's not just our children's sin that is making parenting difficult. The truth is, it is our own sin as well. We want our children to serve our purposes and our own kingdom even more than we want them to serve God's. So often we find ourselves driving our children to excel in sports or academics or hobbies. And so often that's more about our own pride and our own feelings of success than it is our child's. We're building our own kingdom as parents, where we ultimately can feel good about ourselves. And we're using our children to get something that we need. And most often, we use the law to do it. So we're just like our children. We are messy, and we need to be rescued from ourselves. And that's the case moment by moment in our lives. Do you remember one of last week's passages that we talked about that God gave to Israel? And it described how those parents are supposed to talk about these things when they're at home with their child, when they're at play with their child, when they're going to bed in the evenings, when they're getting up in the morning, talking about this constantly, when they're just walking down the road, talking about all of these things. Saying that we need to explain to them about this mighty God who has come to you, and he came to you to save you and to redeem you from everything in this life that ensnares you. All of those things that are trying to enslave you. And it really helps us understand how parenting is not really made up of the big life events. Where are you going to go to college? Where are you going to go? What's your first job going to be? No. It's made up of moment by moment, situation by situation, afternoon by afternoon, morning by morning, day by day, all the little events that we have in this life that seem so insignificant. Going to bed and getting up and sitting down and eating together. All these little things throughout the day. Those are the moments where you are to remind your child of the promises of the grace of Jesus and the power of the grace of Jesus to change your life. And the great gift of the grace of Jesus that he offers to them, your child. And that discussion, the discussion of grace and the grace of Jesus with your child, does not start with their need for grace. Do you know where it starts? With your humble admission that you need that grace for yourself. With your admission to your child that the sin in you means that you need that grace from Jesus for yourself and that you cannot survive without it. And your child needs to hear you say that. They need to hear you say that you don't have a chance in the world to be what God wants you to be. And you don't have what God wants you to have as a parent. You don't just have that. None of it without the powerful, amazing grace of Jesus. And they need to hear you say and to let them know that the grace of Jesus is rescuing you as a parent, as an adult, right now, every day. And then you let them know. That is the same grace that you, my child, need right now. You see, everything that we do as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends and neighbors and coworkers is an opportunity to point that child or that person to the powerful grace of Jesus. All the mundane life events of getting up in the morning and preparing meals and cutting the grass and doing the laundry and doing chores and going to bed, all the interruptions during the day of squabbles between children and friends, all the corrections that need to happen, and yes, all the discipline that still needs to happen. And when you approach birthdays and holidays and homework struggles and school battles, when you see something on Netflix and you hear something on Facebook and you see something in the news like we did all of last week, and you see sad things, and then some days you see happy things and difficult things, sometimes easy things, every single one is an opportunity for you to talk to your children about our never-ending need for God's grace and how Jesus runs to us to meet that need, because God is good and God has a great plan, and everything in our life gives us an opportunity to celebrate a God who rules it all. My main plan and my main goal when I was a parent of young children and teenagers, here was my whole plan. I'm going to develop obedient, respectful children. That was my plan. There's nothing evil about that plan. It's a noble plan, an honest plan. I was just trying to control their behavior long enough that hopefully it became a habit in their life. And then when it came time for them to leave the house, that I would have raised children who abide by the law and who are respectful. I wanted them to obey God's law. That was my ultimate goal. And I wanted them to obey the laws of the land, and just maybe they would still do some of the things that I wanted them to do, my laws. And I thought that by doing all of that, I was teaching my children how to live in the kingdom of God. But I missed the most important thing: the law has never changed a life. Never. It can't. And we want our children to live every single day as God plans for them. We want them to have hearts that are compelled to chase after Jesus and to love Jesus completely. And parents, we cannot make that happen on our own. The law will never make that happen. We have to give up trying to change the hearts of our children by ourselves. Because we know only God can change a heart. Listen to how Paul ends this. Oh, I love this. Listen to how he ends this. Verse 24. He says, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me," he says, "from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" And then he answers with the only possible answer. Thank God, he says, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer. And maybe you're thinking, okay, Harley, okay, yes, I get it. But how do I do that? How do I ask grace to do what the law can't? And that's what we're going to do our best to answer over the next 2 weeks, to give us a starting place in this. You see, I am hoping that we can begin changing our approach to parenting, changing the goal of our parenting, not working to make our children into something, rather working to help them see something about their heart, and then in return, helping them seek something. The only thing that can change their life. Let's pray.